Welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Associate and Affiliate Daily Podcast for this World 2020 qualifier. You may notice the absence of my regular co-host, Russell Degnan. He's currently travelling to Galway to do a bit of sightseeing. So joining me today is my Cricket Europe colleague, Bertus de Jong. Welcome to the show, Bertus.
Hi, Andrew. Hi, everyone. Great to be here.
We'll start with the group in Scotland. You were at Netherlands against Canada today. Canada batted first. Put on a pretty good score for them, 172, but it wasn't any trouble for the Netherlands.
Yeah, certainly. I think there were some worried faces in the Dutch camp when, well, certainly the end of the Canada power play. You know, they'd won the toss, they'd put the Canadians into bowl, and Gunasekara and Patel got them off to a flyer. I think they took about 56 odd off the opening power play. Gunasekara especially was seeing the ball really well. But the Dutch reeled them back in quite well in the middle overs. Riffin, I think, bowled very well. Mickey Swart actually came back in the team, took a couple of wickets and pace off the ball, reeled it in a bit. Only, yeah, just to let it get away from them again in the end. Chima was dropped, I think, on not all too many on the rope. I think hit four sixes, and then the death bowling, it all went a bit to pieces for the Dutch. Tariq really punished them. 172 looked a really decent score at the break. You know, not maybe hugely above par. It didn't seem to be too many demons in the track. But this is a game that the Dutch were looking to really to boost their net run rate, and, you know, conceding 172, not the ideal way of doing that.
And then sort of Myberg and Berese came out swinging to put on 65 in about five overs. And we've seen this before from the Dutch early on. And, it was another case of increasing their net run rate here.
Yeah, well, that's certainly what it looked like initially. I got a bit of help from some pretty wayward Canadian bowling. The first two overs, I think, went for 19 and then 16 runs. And yeah, for a while, it really looked like, you know, I think I ran through the rates notionally to see what they need to go past, say, Afghanistan or Oman, and they needed to do it in 13 odd overs. And that it really looked on for a while Myberg and Berese were at the crease, or at least for as long as Myberg was at the crease. It's good to see. He's had a very tough tournament, and he seemed to be absolutely firing again on all cylinders. At 67 off 30, it looked like the Dutch might, like really put themselves up on a net run rate of, you know, 0.7, 0.8. And I'm actually very surprised that they didn't certainly after that start keep going for it.
Yeah, it seemed to slow down once Myberg was out.
Well, I think quite a lot of people watching were quite surprised to see Mickey Swart coming in at four. He's made runs this tournament, but he's not really made them quickly. This is the first time I think he's had a strike rate over 100. When you've got, you know, big hitters like Boren and Van der Merwe, and even, you know, O'Dowd, and or even Bukhari, who can, you know, if he gets bad on ball, score generally a lot faster than Swart does. And not that, you know, Mickey Swart, we've seen him clear the ropes before, but it looked as well from the way that he and Cooper were batting that he'd been sent out with instructions to just see it through, rather than pay too much mind to the net run rate. And I think that really might come back to haunt them.
There was another sort of match scheduled for Scotland today between UAE and Oman at Stirling, but that was washed out. Stirling had some very heavy overnight rain, and that ground really doesn't dry well. But that could have implications tomorrow. The word is that the game there tomorrow between Afghanistan and Canada will also be washed out. The ground probably isn't going to recover in time. So that, we think, would mean Afghanistan are pretty much safe into the playoffs, but unlikely to top the group. And looking at the other matches tomorrow, you have Scotland against Oman in the morning, and then Netherlands v Kenya in the afternoon. Netherlands and Kenya will have the benefit of knowing exactly what they need to do to get through to the playoff stage, but it's very tight in that group at the moment.
Yeah, well, Group B has become incredibly congested. Yeah, I think almost anyone can end up on 8 points now. The weather coming in, it's very difficult to say anything sensible about net run rate calculations until you see what the weather looks like tomorrow morning. Yeah, another game washed out at Stirling. It's obviously very disappointing. You know, they've worked incredibly hard on the ground. It doesn't take the rain well. I think throughout the entire tournament, we've had one shortened game. I think we had one 13-over game from all the games that were scheduled there, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any more cricket at Stirling at all. And yeah, as you say, that does have implications for how the group ends up. Afghanistan, I think, yeah, they're if they take the 1 point, then they are safe. They're through to the playoffs. But they miss out on their chance of topping the group. So I think they might actually be fairly disappointed not to be able to play that game.
Moving over to Ireland now for the other group. It was an interesting day. It started, it was two games in the morning. Papua New Guinea took on Nepal in a televised game. Nepal batted pretty terribly, it has to be said, as they seem to have done before. Done throughout the tournament. Paddy Perry scored 29 from 28 balls, Sagar Pun 15 from 12, but the rest of the batting didn't really do anything, just struggled against the Papua New Guinea bowlers.
Yeah, I mean, the one I suppose positive you can take away from that as a Nepali is that the opening partnership went okay, but yeah, just, sadly for once that was the only thing that went all right for them. But it's the same old story really. If both Mala and Kadka fail, then generally Nepal fail as a unit. They struggled to recover from poor starts, and yeah, Harry made some runs. It's good to see we picked him maybe to do a bit more than he's done so far this tournament. But yeah, I think this is just it. That Nepal really their batting has really, you know, then they're now in a position where they need an awful lot of luck in other games to even have a chance of making the playoffs. And you have to say the way they've batted that's probably a fair result.
Yeah, and then Papua New Guinea knocked off the runs in pretty quick time, and they have become the first and so far only team to actually secure their place in the playoffs. I suppose when you've got 2 days left and so on, you can only say that one team is definitely in, which shows you're having a pretty close tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you'd certainly say you'd back Afghanistan to make the playoffs as well, given that they only need it to rain in Stirling, which has proved a pretty safe bet so far. But yeah, coming into the last day in Group B and the last couple of days in Group A, and you've only got one team that's certainly there. It's certainly been, you know, we said this is going to be close and that this is going to be a competitive tournament, but I don't think even we expected it to be quite as tight as it has been.
The other game in Ireland this morning at Clontarf, which wasn't televised, Jersey batted first against Namibia. Jonty Jenner scored 90 from 52 balls, the highest score of the tournament so far. And Jersey would have been very pleased with 161 for 4 at the halfway stage. But Jerry Snyman, who I know you will have seen, I think he played for VRA a couple of seasons ago, just smashed it out of the park to start with and won the game pretty easily for Namibia.
Yeah, that seems to be the story of it. I say, Jonty Jenner, again, someone that we were talking about before the tournament started. He's a real talent. And you'd think that 161 would be a competitive total. Yeah, sadly, we can only follow this off a scorecard, so we can't really say whether the bowling at fault or whether this is just an excellent T20 batting, but Namibia absolutely ran away with it. It puts them in a very strong position, actually, in Group A now.
And then the other match in Group A, Ireland playing Hong Kong at Malahide in another televised game. Hong Kong struggled a little with the bat. Mark Chapman top scored with 30, but he didn't really face enough balls. He came in the 11th over, but only actually faced 24 balls. I mean, Ireland would have been pleased at that halfway stage to have Hong Kong at 129 for 8, but then Hong Kong bowled superbly. Porterfield batted too long and faced too many dot balls. Paul Sterling scored 34, but once he was out, the rest of the Ireland batting lineup didn't really do much. John Mooney came in perhaps a little too late to make any serious difference. And then Hong Kong won by 5 runs, which that win probably puts Nepal out looking at the net run rate situation. Ireland probably still just about safe, but a big win for Hong Kong there.
Yeah, it's a huge win for them. They started a bit slowly in this tournament. Ireland again, and surprised because we were worried perhaps about their bowling at the start of the tournament, but they've looked very scratchy with the bat in the last few games against going back even to the USA game when they were, you know, struggling to make runs with any fluency, and really, you know, counting on their bottom order to dig them out of a hole. But then I think the pitchers in Ireland, you know, with the weather, they've been slower, they've been tougher to make quick runs on than perhaps the Irish themselves are expecting. 129, it looked a below par score, perhaps, at the innings break, but I'm not sure it was all that far below par looking back at it. And as you say, Hong Kong, caught the entirety of the second innings of that, and it was just some exemplary T20 bowling, really. So you really can't take anything away from Hong Kong there. We've seen sides that we maybe don't expect to produce this kind of cricket, and they've just been able to. Top associates going down, Oman have won a bunch of games, and Hong Kong now beating a very much fancied Irish team. You just see that on the day you turn up and you play great cricket, and you can beat these teams.
William Porterfield in the post-match presentation said something sounded a bit odd. He said Ireland had struggled to adapt to the conditions, which seems a bit odd given that they're playing at home, but I think there's perhaps something to that, given that a lot of the Ireland players spend most of the time playing in England now.
I think perhaps that's the case. If you look at the totals that have been made over in Ireland, generally there hasn't been much of exactly a glut of runs. You're seeing teams defending totals like well south of 150, which, yeah, maybe you wouldn't expect in English conditions and on county ground wickets. But even, I think even in Ireland, it's fairly unusual. You're seeing the ball not really coming onto the bat in the way that maybe you have done in the past. And certainly, yeah, Ireland, failing to chase 130 is not something that you'd expect.
Looking at the games tomorrow in Group A, Nepal played Jersey in the morning. Nepal need a big win if they have any hope of reaching the playoffs and retaining the 2020 international status. But the way they've been playing, you'd probably make Jersey slight favourites for that game.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair, and they likely have more to gain from it as well. Jersey's still, in the chase, just about for a top four position. Nepal at this point, really, they can't just win. They need to win and hope that the other results go their way as well. You have to, they've taken this long. They've had a protracted tour now. They've been away from home for, I think, at least 3 months, trying all kinds of different combinations with their batting lineup, and nothing seemed to click for them. You'd back Jersey, I think, to sneak that one.
And Papua New Guinea play Namibia in the afternoon at Malahide. That could be an interesting game. You've got some big hitting batsmen in there. It could well turn out to be one of the biggest, highest scoring games in the tournament so far.
I think you see this Namibia again, a bit of a slow start to the tournament, but it's not even about, the way they're playing now. And a crucial game as well, if you look at how Group A is unfolding now. It could be the difference between third and fourth. It could even be the difference between second and third. I think that would be the game to watch tomorrow.
And then Hong Kong against the USA in the afternoon, a must-win game for the USA if they're to keep their playoff hopes alive. But I think Hong Kong beating Ireland today, you'd make them sort of odds-on favourites against the US.
Yeah, I think with the display, certainly the bowling display we saw from Hong Kong today, the US have struggled. Maybe Dodson aside, have really struggled with the bat against this level of bowling. If Hong Kong did turn it on tomorrow like they did today, then you don't really rate the US's chances there.
Right, so it's certainly turning out to be a pretty exciting and unpredictable tournament. Thanks for joining us today, Bertus, and let's hope we have some more enjoyable cricket tomorrow.
Cheers, Andy. Thanks for having me. Bye for now.